Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Who am I? What are we even doing here?
I think this is our proper intro. I think it's just you reminding me of what the hell's going on for most weeks. I'm Scott Tailford, joined by Jules Gill. This is the Untitled Banter podcast, also known as the UBP.
UBP.
Well, never in sync.
No, never in sync. Well, you can't do it on Zoom. Well, someday we'll get it in sync. I don't know how, in person, sometime, at some point in the future. But yes, we ask people what their thoughts are every week for different sorts of questions, send them all in on social media. But because so many people, in a lovely, lovely way, send in so many different things, I thought it was a little bit unfair if we keep asking for new questions. So I went back into the take trough, where there's literally hundreds of stuff at this point.
Oh, me now.
And I just thought, I got the name for it, the scoop, the sort of the banter scoop. And I went in there.
I feel like it's more detrimental the more things we add to it. First, it's like your opinions go into a giant pig slot, like trough thing.
No, it's a well-kept container.
We're not getting the scoop out. We're just putting our mouths directly at each end of the trough, and we're just drinking. We're supping from the trough,
like Beauty and the Beast. You know when you get like a lovely little ice cream scoop, and you sort of like you roll it, and you get that lovely little curl.
Oh, yeah, it's one of them.
It's a take curl. And so yeah, so I went in. You know, we've got lots and lots of things, and I've sort of selected quite a few things. Now, I thought we could go through these a little bit faster because there are so many of them. I don't want to rush anybody.
Wait, it's rapid fire in the morning. So we're doing this earlier than usual. So you're barely awake, and we're choosing to do rapid fire. This is a recipe for disaster. I mean,
you'll be able to tell based on the question, some stuff will deserve a little bit longer. But there's also some stuff that we can do a bit faster. So first question from Amanda, best Tony Hawk game, go.
Oh, geez. I would say that the recent remaster is exceptional because it took everything forward from what made the original couple of games amazing. But if I'm going to say hand on heart, which is my favorite game, and say it with me, kids, of all time, it's got to be Tony Hawk's 3.
Oh, we split. I think we talked about this before, but I'm a Tony Hawk's 2 kid just because the soundtrack, the first time I played it.
Now, I totally respect your decision. And it's not even one of those things where, but you're wrong. It's just the case of like, when you look at the manual being added into that, it opened up the world of possibilities. But take that and add the revert in and you get literally near infinite combos.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. And the thing is, like, the way that they expanded it in 3, and obviously they brought it, that's the thing. If you play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 Remake, then it does have all the extended mechanics and everything. Which the new ones are the best, really.
Oh, yeah. The remake, adding in the revert and all the extra bits as well, the tweaks that they've done to it, like, it definitely feels so familiar, like a pair of old socks that, like, amazing to put on. But at the same time, it feels like a new pair of socks as well. This is what they should have had for the tagline. Tony Hawk's Remaster. It's like a pair of old new socks.
I love a nice pair of old socks. I will not throw out the ones with the holes in. I know that's probably
bad. Probably should.
No, because they're comfortable, mate. I mean, if there's a foot-sized hole, then yes.
The reason that they're comfortable is because you've just got air. It's just air and carpet. Yeah. That you're walking, like,
ventilated socks, pal. It's the future. Anyway, next question. Well, part of Amanda's question. What's your favorite console? Go.
Oh my God. Well, PS2.
Nice.
Like, it's just because it was the most formative experience. Like, I know that my first experience with consoles was the SNES that my dad got and I played on a little bit. The PlayStation 1 was, again, his console. But the PlayStation 2 was the first console that I bought with my own money. I saved up for absolutely ages. First game that I got for it was Jack and Daxter, the precursor Legacy.
Really?
I just remember great times with that. And Time Splitters 1. Oh,
I tell you what, because I mentioned my N64 quite a lot. Excuse me. Oh, my God. I'll edit this out.
No. Keep it in. I want you to choke on how positive your takes are.
Oh, my God. Right. The N64. I got Pokemon Snap, third time lucky. Did I tell you the absolute adventure that I've been on trying to get Pokemon Snap.
Is this your German copy?
Oh, that's the second one that I got. The first one that I got didn't even work. So I had to go back on CEX and be like, lads, can I get another one? Because this one doesn't even work. Then they sent me one which was, look, oh, it worked, fired it up, and it just said Das Pokemon. I was like, well, this isn't English at all, is it? I could understand what Finding Das Pokemon was, which was good. And I played it for a little bit, and it's lovely. But then I thought, I'm going to have to get another one. So I went to Amazon. I finally got an English one. Pokemon Snap might be the best thing ever made, mate. I'm not going to lie. It's brilliant.
It's so relaxing, isn't it? Like, you just go around and you're just kind of like, oh, cool. I'm just taking photos of Pokemon. I don't need to do anything else. This is like a lovely little holiday where I just get to see nice things.
I visualize myself as like Peter Parker in the Sam Raimi movies, where I'm going up to J. Jonah Jameson, just sort of like, well, I've got these pictures, Professor Oak. And I just love, I mean, I threw an apple off a Charmeleon and he became a Charizard. And I was like, oh.
This just imagining J. Jonah Jameson just like, get me pictures of Mankey.
Get me pictures of Primate.
Yeah.
I think, I played the whole thing in one go last night. I unlocked all the areas. I still need to go back and get some of the secret Pokemon. I know people have been doing this for 20 years. I get it. But the combination of Pokemon Snap and Goldeneye, which have both arrived in my life across the last couple of years.
Amazing.
What have I been doing? What have I been missing out on?
The weird thing is, though, is that like when you take a step back from what Pokemon Snap actually is, you just kind of like imagine the people at like Nintendo, Game Freak, just like trying to pitch this. It's like, right, so it's Pokemon, and they're like, love it, love it. And it's like, but it's a bus tour.
Yeah, you won't really.
And everyone's still like, but it's still Pokemon. They're like, oh, just sign it, print it, license to print money, mate.
Oh, God. There's something about seeing them just walking around in the wild that like as a kid, I imagined that. And for me, it was Pokemon Go brought that to life, but Pokemon Snap totally did it 20 years ago. I just didn't have it because I didn't have the N64. But yeah, favorite console for me would also be the PlayStation 2. But I have such a soft spot for the 90s consoles, too.
Would your German version of Pokemon Snap be Pokemon Schnapps?
Very good.
They're all just drunk walking around.
I only played it past the opening bit where it was, Professor Oak just saying find and das Pokemon. And I was like, amazing. Well, I can absolutely do that, mate. But after that, lost off. I didn't know what the mechanics were. So I had to get a different version. The final part of Amanda's question was, have either of you had Maryland Blue Crab / Old Bay?
I
refer to us as
Maryland Old Crab.
Maryland Blue Crab or Old Bay. Don't know what that is, to be honest. So I guess we haven't.
No, I've not eaten an ancient crustacean.
That could be some sort of proposition. I have no idea what you want one of those Maryland blue crabs.
I feel like if you admit to it, everyone's going, Maryland blue crab over there. What's he on about? No, I want to say that if it's a blue crab, it's either going to be, it sounds like beers. Are we in the right ballpark with this?
Sure, assumedly. I don't know.
Blue crab. Gets you feeling saucy.
Either way, we've never had it. I mean, maybe it's from Maryland. Someone will clearly get in touch and let us know about Maryland Blue Crab. Although this question was from the last few weeks. So if you've been waiting on us, you know, the take on the Maryland Blue Crab, then I apologize. We are a few weeks late on that. Please let us know.
We should, thank you very much, Amanda, by the way. Yes. What we should do is set up a PO box so people can send us things to try from around the world, because we're very good with recipes, clearly. We want to experience new things.
That did not work when we opened it up for carpet samples. That was years ago, back when King Ross was still here and he was like, please send me carpet samples. And the hundreds of carpet samples that arrived at the office, no, we're not doing that again.
Oh my God.
That was a time. That was a big old time. You did it with shirts as well with your collection.
Oh yeah, with the Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah,
all
different shirts. So yeah, we've been so there. Many. We've literally got the t-shirt and we can't do it again. Next question from Dr. Ryu Bakura. You guys need to try the sandwich I grew up eating. Peanut butter, mayonnaise and cheese. What's your thoughts?
Right, so peanut butter, yes. Cheese, yes. But this mayo, this sneaking mayo on business. In there. It says there's a knock at the door and you've opened it up and there's your best mate, but he's also brought one of his mates with him and you're not too sure if he's going to steal your phone charger. You know what I mean? But he looks like he's a nice guy and he sounds when he's on his own, but after a few points, he's a bit of a dick. Like, that guy,
your friend leaves and you're just sort of stuck with him, just sort of forcing small talk. And well, I have to try and pretend this is all right, but it's really, really not.
The absolute crusts of the conversation, you might say, in this in this giant metaphor that we're creating, but they're all held together by your nice, like sort of, average but a bit dull mate cheese, you know. He's like, all right mate, I go with anything.
He goes with anything.
I'm gonna give that a try, you know, because I've got some vegan mayo in the fridge. I'll give
you
it a
go
try.
For it, mate. I don't know, but there's peanut butter. I was severely disappointed by peanut butter when I had it by itself, because my first I fell
I'm
in love
sorry
with peanut.
That's not no, a no, statement just, that you can no, get away with
I'll explain. I fell in love with peanut butter through a burger filter. I had it on a, I had a Five Guys peanut butter burger. I was like, well, this is immaculate. And all I really want more peanut butter. So I got a jar of peanut butter, and then it was just nothing like that. It was really like your face. And it was like really dry and lame. And I was like, oh.
What? You are really upsetting me right now, man. Like, I have peanut butter on everything. I love peanut butter to the...
I want to love it, but it was just really dry.
I can't believe it. You just say that the only way to have peanut butter is on a burger. Like, yeah. Admittedly, it's an amazing combo. Like, yeah. If you have a peanut butter and caramelized onion burger, that is... Because it's basically PB&J, you know, like we were talking about before with the peanut butter and jelly.
Yes, yes.
It's amazing. But I can't believe that you were disappointed that your... peanut butter was effectively the reason you didn't like it is because it didn't come with meat.
Well, no, I didn't buy a jar of peanut butter expecting meat, but I did think it would be nice and sweet. I thought it would be just as sort of, I don't know, like immediately satisfying as it was on the burger, and it absolutely was not. It was very dry. I was just a bit gutted. I just sort of sat there going,
I need to send you some good links to the best peanut butters out there. Okay. The ones that, like, the whole nut ones, the real sort of
I need oil separation. I need pristine peanut butter. But yes. So, yeah, at some point we'll try the sandwich. Not going to lie, Jules, we've been recording for 10 minutes. We've done two questions.
So that's fine. But this is our doing very well for us.
I know.
One thing about this question, though, is that peanut butter sandwich with the mayo, it sounds like you'd have to have the ratio of it really spot on, because the imbalance, if you have an entire mouthful that is just mayo and bread, that's like, a bit too much.
That's more like a punishment.
I'm going to give that a try. I'll experiment. I'll go into the kitchen lab. We've got a What Culture Towers.
Well, yeah, when we get back, someone the other day tweeted and said we should do an Untitled Banter cookbook, which we absolutely should, and said, when do we do, like, What Culture Food? And I was just like, the people do not know the amount of different ideas that get thrown around in the What Culture maelstrom, but I'm not going to not say that hasn't been something that someone somewhere has once said.
I know.
So, yeah, you never know. Next question from Laughing Sunbro. Nice. I think regular Mr. Sunbro, hello. Mm-hmm. I almost got his, I thought it was a different question, but it's not. It's Mr. Right. Laughing Sunbro. Do you have any older games you reviewed that you change your opinion on, for better or worse? Excluding No Man's Sky, which has done a total 180. Now, this I included this question near the top because I remember when we reviewed, or I reviewed, Assassin's Creed Origins, and I came, me and you did the review, and you can go back to that. Anyone should go back to that review where we used to do reviews in two halves, so it was like initial impressions and then the full review later. Mm-hmm. And the initial impressions for Origins before the day one patch were pretty terrible. So we did a video, which I totally wanted to title. We did title it as "For the Love of God, Ignore This Game," because I was like, it was coming after Unity, and like, yes, Syndicate was better, but I was like, oh my God, Ubisoft have done it again. It sucks, blah, and all that kind of stuff. And then I played a bit more of it, day one patch, nicely. That's what the consumers are going to get. So I was like, actually, Jules, it's all right now. It's quite good. So we did another video called "Actually Forget That It's Good."
We were totally wrong about it.
We're totally wrong. And in the beginning of that video, is just you, like, covered in cans, because we did like a whole skit thing of you just being like, "Oh, you do this every time." It's great. So yeah, that would be. I changed my mind on Assassin's Creed on a yearly basis, although I have been quite positive on it for a few months now. Since Valhalla.
I think that for me, I had a real sort of weird relationship with Final Fantasy X. When it first came out, I was like super hot on it. I thought this is like a brilliant game. Like, obviously the first like PS2 outing for the Final Fantasy series. I was so hyped for it. Then I went through a period of intense hatred for it because of the waste of potential of the Blitzball minigame. The fact that the story just dropped off at the end, like with the whole sort of like Aeons, he was a dream or he was like...
Your dad's a space whale.
Yeah, and then I was just like, there's lots of things that I didn't like about it. And now I've come around again. So I've done like a 360 on it. And I'm just like, this was an underrated gem. This is brilliant. But only because of the fact that Final Fantasy 13, 13, 2 and Lightning Returns came out and reminded me what an actual decent Final Fantasy game is.
I think for the most part, if we're talking like actual recorded reviews, no, I've never gone back and gone, I got that wrong. I've never done that. I think if I assess something properly, if we're doing an actual filmed review where it's like you take the time, you assess it properly. As far as I know, I've never gone back on something like that. But that's a way smaller pool than the amount of games we play. So there's been stuff that I've reapproached over the years and gone like, oh, I like this more. Like right now I'm going through Dragon Quest 11, which I only banked
what a
about.
Game.
Oh
what
God. Game. Well, I love Dragon Quest because it's just so twee and charming and beautiful and gorgeous and everything. And right now I was like, I need this lift. So I'm going to go back to something as charming as that. And just looking at the slimes, I was like, oh, this is great. Just just give me that a little knight riding a green slime. But that game didn't click with me massively back when it came out. I did about 10, 15 hours and I sort of put it down. And then I've gone back to it now. And I think that game does have like a slow build until you get the proper party.
Yeah, definitely.
It takes a little while. I mean, I haven't even got Jade yet, or the BAM, or whatever he's called, the dude that...
Oh, really? Okay, wow, okay.
And so that's the thing. So I'm like, well, I'm going back through it. I love the art style and everything. But that would be something where I was like, oh, I kind of wish I played a bit more of that back at the time. But yeah, in terms of reviews, I think once we've locked them down, we're pretty set. Because I think at this stage, we know what we're looking for or how to assess quality in that regard. But
then again, it does raise the point that we were talking about before with like, because games of live service completely change like after like a month, a year, whatever time frame, the point in time review that we provide sometimes does not reflect the current product. Like sometimes patches can make things worse. For example, if we had reviewed the Avengers video game, I think Josh reviewed it, didn't he? Oh, you reviewed it. And you were like, okay, this game is bad, but the combat is worth sticking around to play. Now with the recent addition that they've said that the level grinding cap is going to be extruded like so much, where it's going to take you, instead of 1 to 2 hours to level up, it's going to be like 4 to 5 hours.
Yeah.
The grind sets in. And so therefore your comment about the combat being a reason to stick around doesn't hold as much water because of the fact that it's like they've changed what the game is.
Luckily in that instance, like I still hint at that stuff and I still talk about that stuff anyway, because it still was an elongated, overbloated grind, but obviously they've tweaked the numerics on it to make it even longer. One example would be Mortal Kombat 11. Like, I hung a lot of negativity in that review on how horrible the Living Tower stuff was, because it felt like they were pushing you towards microtransactions to get through those things. NetherRealm since apologized. The current version of MK11 is phenomenal. They fixed it. But for me, I think that it should exist as a point in time of when they got it wrong, and you should be able to look at those things and go, and it should hold up as evidence as like, don't do this again. Otherwise, that game would have got 5 stars. So I think those things are worth a point.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Next question from Duh, which is a great name. What are some of your favorite modern music artists / video game collaborations, and who do you think would make an ideal track for a future title? I enjoyed Florence and the Machine's version of Stand By Me for Final Fantasy XV and Jose Gonzalez's Far Away from Red Dead Redemption 1.
I cannot believe that this question has come up on this day of all days, literally 2 days after they have just announced that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are getting a brand new game and the theme song is sung by bloody Mike Patton from Faith No More.
Is that what that is? Came to me and was like, oh, do you know who Mike Patton is? And I was like, yeah, blah. And we just talked about Mike Patton for a bit. I didn't realize that was why he was bringing him up. That explains everything. Okay.
So he's singing the theme song for it. I don't know if he's doing the actual soundtrack because it goes into chiptune-y stuff. So I imagine that they've got another artist for that. But the fact that Mike Patton is doing that, is singing
the Faith No More singer, we should say.
I love that sort of thing where I just didn't expect to ever hear him sing like on a video game. But apparently, I did some digging into it.
He's the narrator. He's doing the music as well.
If you listen to it, he sings the theme song for it. And he also provided some voiceover or did some voices for the zombies in Left 4 Dead 2.
Okay.
Weirdly, if you just go on the thing, he's there as one of the credits.
Well, I know him as the voice of the darkness in the darkness.
Yes.
Jackie. I love how much he can contort his throat. Yeah. He's such a weird fit for TMNT, but I remember I read a thing that he's a lifelong fan. He put himself forward to be like the narrator and stuff. Which is really cool. I didn't realize he was doing music alongside. I haven't actually watched much of the trailer yet. I saw it revealed. And then I have a whole thing with 2D side scrolling brawlers where I'm just like, I can never line up properly. For the love of God, I just want to enjoy it and I can't. And so I want them to make 3D ones. Just make a 3D one like that. Like Sifu. Sifu looks amazing.
You basically want the Bouncer, but done well.
I want Minority Report on PlayStation 2, but done over skinned and make it a little bit better. But yeah, in terms of music collaborations, I'm trying to think of titles where bands made songs for that game. I would say Ludens by Bring Me the Horizon. Then put it on their EP from last year.
And that EP is an absolute banger.
Oh my God, Kingslayer. So like, dude, I mean,
Imagine just being like a Bring Me the Horizon fan. You've already sort of like gone through the weird sort of tumultuous start where they were like, ridiculously heavy for the sake of being heavy. They were very much the core of that and then they went through the sort of experimental thing with not Vizu, because I'm thinking of Thrice it was called.
Sempiternal was their
Sempiternal that was together album, yeah. And then they've gone to this one where it's like electronica meeting this like heavy thing, but he's not screaming as much, but he is sometime. And then baby metal into the mix. You're just like, what the hell, man?
Oh, my God. I mean, Bring Me the Horizon, one of my favorite bands. I mean, we had a whole thing with What Culture Music. We need to capitalize on this energy. And at some point, hopefully, maybe we'll do What Culture Metal or something like that.
Oh, that'd be so much
fun. Then we can dive into it. I know Andy Murray would like to do that stuff too.
Yep.
And because Bring Me, they've had a hell of a trajectory. When they did Ludens, I mean, obviously, I would recommend Bring Me's new stuff, but they did that song called Ludens for the Death Stranding soundtrack, which was great. And all that new stuff is this sort of blend of like heavy metal. Oh my God, my throat.
You can do it.
This is me doing a voiceover where I've been talking all day and I try and record at 5:30. All that new stuff just feels like this great blend of like experimental, like metalcore and melodic elements and some death, like proper death metal style screams in the Kingslayer song. They're really good.
Just go completely off the absolute radar when they get that final track in with the Evanescence lead singer.
Amy Lee,
And you're just there like, this is just like so overblown and over the top.
Just very super quickly, their Chill Hop album is bizarrely cool as well. I didn't like it initially, but there's some remixes on there that are quite nice.
There's two songs that I've thought of that fit the bill for this question. Run the Jewels did a collaboration song for the Cyberpunk 2020 game, and that was an absolute banger. But for my banter pick, I'm going for the one that Avenged Sevenfold recorded for the Call of Duty game. Avenged Sevenfold. If you're not in America, I have to break something to any of the fans that are listening to this. Avenged Sevenfold, they're a bit of a joke. Like outside,
they are a little bit, but they've got good songs. It was called. Do you mean Carry On from 2018?
That's the one. What but the thing tune. Is though, is that they make great songs, like big anthem, stadium fillers sort of things. That they are, but they're just so unbelievably cringy.
They are very cringe, yeah. When
you look at what they named themselves, to legally change your name to M Shadows, Zachy Vengeance, Sinister
Johnny
Gate.
Johnny Christ, I think, is one of them, isn't it?
Oh, mate. And it's just like, the only one that had like a semblance of normality to it was the Rev. May he rest in peace, because he was an absolute ledge. Really nice guy as well, but
I know. I used to adore Avenged. Obviously, everybody had the City of Evil album. We'll just turn the UBP into a metal podcast, but it was a whole thing. But yeah, I think they're self-aware with it. Matthew Shadows, I think he's aware of how he's coming across with his bandana.
I want to say that you're totally right, but then when you look at him with his like big like cop shades on and his like bandana and his little fang teeth that he puts in.
I kind of love it. I'm kind of there for it. Like, just commit to it. Like, because if it's a spectrum from like Ghost to like the guys that did the Sonic Heroes music, that's the Crush 40. If that's the spectrum, it's Crush 40 to Ghost, then like I'm Avenger a little bit closer to the Ghost spectrum, just fully embracing it. And the last part of Durr's question was, why isn't there a Warhammer 40K or Lord of the Rings Battlefront style game? Why? Well, there is a Lord of the Rings Battlefront style
game. There was, called Conquest.
So you should absolutely check that out if you want something in that vein. As for Warhammer, I don't know.
I have no idea why that's not been a concept that's been capitalized on. It makes perfect sense. You play as like a grunt. You can unlock different heroes for your different factions. The only thing I can think of is that either it would just be lambasted as being a clone of like Battlefront and people wouldn't give it a chance, or nobody has the resources to pull something like that together. Because when you think about it, even if you were to keep with one faction of, say, the Space Marines, there's like 10 major chapters that people would play as. And then you go into all of the different alien races. Then there's like, I think there's a time of recording, there's probably like 12 different armies that you can play as. They all have different permutations, tons of like different characters. It would be almost impossible to fit all of them into one game and have it running smoothly and to balance it as well. So
same with like the Magic franchise, like there's not been like one specific, or you must play this Magic game because the lore is so big and so complex, and there's so many elements you have to get right, and I guess they don't want to have a dev team commit to that.
It'd
be kind of hard.
The closest that you would get to it is playing Warhammer Space Marine and then maybe playing Warhammer Total Dawn of War, afterwards, which is basically the RTS Command and Conquer style, where you get to control like massive amounts of armies and stuff like that. So
you want I would love like a Valkyria Chronicles style Warhammer game.
Yes.
Like top down, but like zoom in, get your gun with your chainsaw on, run in for a bit, do all that.
There is actually like, because you like the XCOM games, don't you?
Oh, dude, I love XCOM.
There's two games that I could suggest. One's called Mordheim, which is set in the sort of like fantasy world where it's like the turn-based strategy tile thing, and you move around with like a little warband that you can completely customize, which is quite cool. And there's another one called Adeptus Mechanicus, or it might just be called Adept or Mechanicus, where basically you control a squad of cyborg men who completely like upgrade themselves as they go along. So they're like ripping off old alien tech and like attaching it to themselves.
Kind of like Surge 2.
It's very cool. Very, very cool.
I'm a big fan. Next question from Tom Hunter. Would you rather have game remakes of all classic games but risk them being pish, or full backwards compatibility with no more remakes but risk losing that nostalgia feeling over time / continually increasing prices for older games due to scarcity?
Oh god, that is a tough question, because as much as there are a lot of video games out there that I hold aloft as like being utter classics, yet I know they're not perfect, and given another go around they potentially could fix some of those problems.
Because he does say risk them being pitched. The proposition is not that the remake would always be worse, it's that they could get it right. So I think, as I personally will just take the originals, because that gives me the nostalgia rush, that gives me the satisfaction in a way that sometimes the Reduxes don't, because I'm just like, oh, this just reminds me of the first time I played it, and I'd rather have polygonal voxel graphics or whatever, but that's just me. So like, but if they could fix something like the camera controls in something, like if they'd given Mario 64 full actual camera controls in the 35th anniversary, it would be one of the, I mean, it is one of the best games of all time, but it'd be even more the best game of all time.
What do you mean? You don't enjoy the whoop?
You don't enjoy moving a camera in segments? Like, what the hell are you thinking, Nintendo? Nigel Tendo? I don't like it.
Yeah, I think that I think I would take the gamble, because I'd always know that I have the original and I have the consoles to play them on if I want to go back and play them exactly as they were intended. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, you could end up with a 13 remake, which was utterly terrible, but you might end up with something completely fresh and new, like the Final Fantasy VII remake, because that game, it is completely different in some places to the original game. It is arguably such a great game that it deserves to be held
the seven remake is like,
yeah, what a, it's so weird to describe it.
Fascinating thing. Just like, for me, it squanders like some of the best plot points, but then you have this immaculate combat model and it's still totally recommendable. And people who play that instead of the original still love Final Fantasy VII Ephemera. So I'm like, okay, you still kind of get it. So I guess it has done its job. It's a thing. We should end on a question on it. Tried and failed to get a PlayStation 5 again today from Game. So I was wondering if you guys would discuss where the fault lies for the lack of availability. Is it Sony, the retail outlet selling it, the scalpers, or the people buying from the scalpers and going from there?
Oh, it's a really tough
kind
one.
Of everything.
I would say that the if you were to use the term of whose fault is it, then it always comes down to the supplier. Like, at the end of the day, if you are creating a false sense of scarcity to drive up the price and demand for your product, then you are to blame for scalpers and for other stuff that happens down the line. It starts at the source, and Sony made a clear, conscious decision. They are a giant of a corporation. There was no way that they couldn't manufacture enough. Mm-hmm. Yes, there were some times that there were scarce resources. I completely understand that, as with the PS3. But these were problems that should have been recognized far earlier and should not have like fallen onto the consumer to pay for it.
Yeah, and there's also, like, as the months go on and the lack of exclusives becomes even more apparent, like, you know, they didn't need to launch in 2020.
No,
like,
you know, not at all.
It's not like the PlayStation 5's launch was great. I enjoy mine. It's fun enough. Like, you know, Astro Bot and Spider-Man and everything else and Demon's Souls. But you could have delayed it. You could have waited. You could have had the stock. You know that the demand is sky high. You didn't need those unit sales initially.
Well, one of my friends did actually bite the bullet and bought one from a scalper, which I said to him, like, just don't do it. Just wait. Like, no new games are coming out that justify you doing it. And he was like, no, I just want it. That's it. It's this want.
I always have that feeling.
That overwhelmed his, like, sort of rationale. Mm-hmm. And yet I said to him, I was talking to James Dowles this morning, mm-hmm. who said that he's just bought one and he showed me how much he paid for it versus what my friend paid for it. And the difference between them, you could have almost bought the console again.
Right.
So I was like, and what experience is James having that is different to my friend that bought it? Absolutely none, because the games released since he bought it versus when James Dowles has bought it are nil. So he has basically bought in early for nothing.
Oh yeah, I think it's such a strange psychological thing to, like, break down that sort of, it is that feeling of, like, needing something, of wanting something. It's this, like, it's the thing you've been looking forward to for so long. I mean, I very rarely give in to, I haven't ever given it to scalpers. I did it once where I went to getmein.com to get myself Metallica tickets because they'd sold out. And I spent like £100 getting something that should have been 30. But other than that, I've never done that. No, did it with The Witcher 3. Spent £300 to get the collector's edition because it sold out. So a couple times, but I guess not from scalpers. I guess they're from, like, more registered websites that are doing it, even though it is the same practice. But that psychological need, that sort of, like, insane, like, unquantifiable feeling, I guess I understand that. But I think that, like, yeah, in terms of, like, because there's the way to obviously try and get that under control and just rationalize with yourself that the actual thing you're buying into is not worth it right now. Like, I can say from someone on the other side with both next gen consoles, you're not missing out on anything. Like, there's nothing happening. Like, the industry is asleep for the most part. So it's like, you know, there's that side of it too. But like you said, it's the supply. Like,
what I find really strange, though, is that the exclusives that they have brought out, like, they championed Demon's Souls as being the thing to play on the PS5. Mm-hmm. And yet, if you look at the sales for that, they've been astronomically low. And that really is, yeah, it's there's quite a few videos out there and reports that suggest that they're at, like, From Software and Sony are actually a bit dismayed at how little people are playing Demon's Souls online. And it's because of the fact that they've got a closed market for the longest time because people couldn't get their hands on it. The game was the only reason at that point to buy it, if we're being brutally honest, outside of Astro's Playroom, which comes bundled with it, doesn't
Astro it? Astro comes with it, yeah. Spidey's then, Cross, Jen.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like one of those things where that's the only reason to play it, and yet nobody's playing it.
And it's, like, £70, I think. It was the first thing that launched with that new premium price point. So a lot of people were like, I don't even, you know, it's plus it is a reskin of a 2009 game. Like, you know, you can point to some of the, you know, the most solid net code or whatever, but it plays frame by frame exactly the same as 2009's game. Like, there's side by side stuff proving that too. So yeah, I mean, the whole situation with this, I saw Biden saying that he's stepping in on the American side to, like, see what the hell's going on with their you know, console manufacturer side of things. But yeah, I mean, it just seems like a lot of it is a knock-on effect of 2020. So maybe by the end of this year, there'll be exclusives and consoles.
Fingers crossed, because I think that the PS5 desperately needs to establish its platform. Like, it's already got its hooks into the diehard fans, which have obviously paid to play very little, but it needs to now start moving outwards globally to attract people in to make the jump from the PS4, because at this point, there's not that much incentive.
That's another thing as well, just to round it out, is that Sony themselves seem to be acknowledging that they also know that they can't deliver on the PlayStation 5 promise as much as they potentially could in the marketing side of it, because everything has become cross-gen. You know, and God of War seems like it's been delayed. Ratchet and Clank is one of the only upcoming exclusives that's only on PlayStation 5, but Horizon is going to be on PS4. It's like, they're almost saying, hey, don't worry, you don't need to worry about this. Yeah. Don't give in to paying $1,000, £1,000 to get this thing, because you'll be satiated if you just have a PlayStation 4. So yes, thanks to every single person for sending in their questions. This has been the Untitled Banter Podcast. My voice continues to disappear, but I am Scott Tailford, joined by Jules Gill.
Thank you very much for having me, mate.
We'll catch you guys all next week. Thank you very much, and bye-bye.
Bye.
UBB. UBB. UBB.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.